and welcome to the very first episode of this podcast. This podcast is dedicated to reading and learning to play chess. And I don't know what to read first of all, so I'm going to start with a very short fanfiction that I really liked. I don't know if you guys know about this pair. They are from an anime, Jujutsu Kaisen, and it's a really beautiful pairing in my opinion, and the intricacies of the relationship are just wonderful. And so, let's start. The fanfiction I'm reading is found on the site AO3. It is called Bury Me in Your Memory, and it is written by Nightgrief. In the tags we have Fluff, this is so short, what do I tag? Confessions of Sorts, Character Study of Sorts again, and Light Angst. Oh, the notes are... It's like, you know when you put so much work into something and you are just so happy that you are doing that thing, but just at the end you somehow fuck it up, so everything you did was for nothing? This little one-shot was brought to life by this exact feeling. Yeah, the notes are something, aren't they? Okay, so... Thinking back to all of the years he had been called the strongest makes Satoru's stomach clench. His hands start to tremble with the urge to pull his hair out, and he feels that he can't control his breathing. Ironically, the strongest Jujutsu sorcerer never really won. If the strongest can't do it, then who can? Satoru kicks an empty can of soda that was in his way far away from him, thinking of all the fights he almost won. Makes his skin crawl, and he can't help but wonder if he really is as good as everyone thinks he is. He was just so close to winning, but he never did. All of that effort for nothing. Why would he want to keep fighting? Suddenly, it starts to rain, and Satoru, even though he doesn't have an umbrella, turns off his infinity. His steps carry him away to the only place that still holds some resemblance of a home to him. His hands tremble hidden in his pockets, and the rain feels like it's pulling around him, trying to drown him. He tries to stop thinking about how being the strongest sorcerer never helped him. Being a great fighter, the best, didn't help him in keeping the people close to him safe. He gave away everything, his fears, his childhood, his youth, for the slimmest chance of being able to protect those close to him. And in the end, it wasn't enough. What he had to give wasn't enough. With shaky hands, he fishes the key to the apartment from his large pocket. It takes him 4 tries to get it in, and then 5 more steadying breaths before he turns it. As he enters, he tries to stop thinking altogether, and somehow, that's easy. Sugura scent engulfs him, and the thoughts fade away even though his trembling or ragged breath don't. After the day in Shinjuku, Sugura's scent changed, a reminder that they will never be the same. It still has the same sandalwood undertones, but is not as sweet as it used to be. For Satoru, his friend's scent was something he wanted to bottle and take with him everywhere, to keep it close to him, a little secret just between the two of them. He stands in the apparently empty apartment and tries to not curl onto the floor with the pressure that's slowly building up inside him. Suguru? He hates how breathy his voice is, and how it almost cracks on the last syllable. No one answers, so clearly Suguru is not here. His steps carry him to the bathroom, even though his brain is telling him to leave, to come back another time. The pajamas slid easily onto his body, and their smell, both his and Suguru's, make Satoru feel welcome and wanted. His brain is still screaming at him to leave, to never come back, but his heart is the one pumping the blood, which is making his legs walk towards the bed. He plops in the middle of it, only to stand up a second later to shift under the covers. He's home. And Satoru falls asleep easily, as easy as everything comes when he thinks of Suguru. Later in the dark, he feels the mattress deep. Usually when he sleeps, nothing can wake him up, but he guesses he was way too agitated earlier. Suguru tries to shuffle and find a comfortable position as quietly as possible, and Satoru knows his lips involuntarily quirk into a smile. He's glad it's dark enough for Suguru not to see it. He adamantly keeps his eyes closed. When Suguru is done, he slings his arm across Satoru's torso, and he pulls himself closer until Satoru can feel the damp skin on his chest from the shower he probably took earlier. His hand starts to gently comb through Satoru's hair, but blunt nails scratching at his undercut. Satoru, Suguru suddenly whispers, and it takes all of Satoru's willpower to not answer, to find being asleep, because answering whenever Suguru calls his name is like second nature to him. Suguru's hands keep making little circles on Satoru's nape, warming him. I know you're awake, Satoru. Once was already hard enough, but since Suguru called his name twice, he feels like he has no option but to drop the act. How did you know? He mumbles, hoping his voice comes out as playful as he wanted instead of raspy from the way he cried earlier. Suguru's hand stills for a second before starting to gently caress Satoru's back. Your breathing is different when you are asleep. It finally seems like you stop running. You always breathe so quickly, sometimes I'm afraid your nostrils don't take enough oxygen to your brain. What? Satoru says, but the word comes out more like a strangled laugh. And if he wasn't awake before, he definitely is now, when Suguru kisses him on his forehead, tenderly, like they could ever be something more than enemies. The kiss is so sweet, it makes Satoru wonder how much time Suguru has loved him for. A fleeting and stupid thought. He never loved Satoru, and he never will, not the way Satoru loves him. Never mind, you idiot, Suguru answers irritably, but Satoru knows him well enough to discern the fondness laced within the words. He hates the way his body shudders, as if having been physically attacked. And what he hates more is how well he fits against Suguru, and how he tucks himself closer to his friend to feel his warmth better, until every bone and blood vessel in his body shines and shimmers with Suguru's heat. I'm your idiot, Satoru easily says, the words slipping from his mouth before he can stop them. His shirt punches up where Suguru's hand clutches it hard, and he can feel every single detail embroidered into his skin. After a bit, Suguru gives in. You are, Satoru, my idiot. He then yawns loudly and stretches like a cat, saying a mumbled goodnight and turning on his other side, leaving Satoru alone with his thoughts and again, and the pounding of his heart, which seems to have learned a new language he never wants to forget. My idiot. His heart sings, and Satoru can just hope that Suguru is not awake enough to hear it. One more thing. Enemies are people who absolutely despise each other's morals and values, and of course, despise each other. For most people, being enemies with someone doesn't mean waking up to them cuddling you, holding you as if once they let go, they will never get a chance to see you again. It definitely does not mean sharing an apartment and enjoying a fresh meal together first thing in the morning. Suguru and Satoru don't talk while they're eating. They never do. Most of their discussions happen when one of them is drunk, on the brink of a mental breakdown, or extremely sleep-deprived. Most of their discussions hang low on the line between fantasy and reality, between tangible and intangible. Most of the time, Satoru wonders what they are. He thinks they're enemies or something of the sort. But when he looks at Suguru, he can't bring himself to ever believe he would want it to be something else than lovers. Because is that what they are? They kiss and hold each other and prepare meals for each other, and they do everything that people who love each other do. The dreams in which he and Satoru live together, happily married in the countryside, have slowly started to take over his life for the last months. But he thinks back on the stolen years of his youth, on the failed years of his adulthood, and would he even be able to provide the future for him and Suguru? He eats his omelette in silence, and he doesn't even notice Suguru staring at him. Everything about him has changed, and Satoru knows it. He knows that Suguru, that he chooses every day over and over again to be by his side, is not the same Suguru who he fell in love with in high school. But he would have paid attention to Suguru in blurry mornings, when the sleep is still hanging heavy from their eyelashes, if he would have dared to take a closer look at Suguru on warm evenings, when both of them felt as if they had fuzzy socks on, even though they are always barefoot in their apartment. He would have seen the way Suguru looks at him, which hasn't changed at all from when they were 17. Suguru looks at Satoru as if he entrusted all of his hopes and dreams to him. And Satoru doesn't look at Suguru because he hates feeling scared of how much things have changed. Have you ever thought of living far away from here? Satoru has to ask. He just has to. Chewing his foot slowly, Suguru nods his head. I guess. I always wanted to go somewhere quiet, somewhere where I could just do nothing. thing. But I don't usually really think like this. I know what I have to do with my life, and I don't think I could just sit there and let it waste before my eyes. Satoru promised himself from that day in Shinjuku that he would always listen to Suguru no matter what, because at that moment when he saw Suguru's firm line start to blur between those people, he wanted nothing more than to shout his name and tell him that everything will be fine. Tell him that no matter what he wants to do, he will be by his side, he will listen, he will try to understand. God, he would try so hard. Would you take someone with you if you would move to such a place? Satoru knows he's not the subtlest, but he can't help himself. Suguru is fixating on him with his dark eyes, and it is always so intense. It catches Satoru off guard every time. Maybe. I'd have to take Mimiko and Anako. I would be your neighbor. Suguru takes a long sip of ginseng tea, and Satoru most definitely isn't captivated by one drop of liquid that escaped his lips and rolled down his chin. But thankfully, before he can embarrass himself further, Suguru wipes it away. You idiot, what do you mean you'd be my neighbor? We would live together. The air feels as if it's been punched out of Satoru's lungs. They are nothing more than two people who understand each other. They are not enemies, they are not lovers, they are not friends, and they are not strangers. They have been, at some point, all of those, but now they are just people who see each other for who they really are. For Suguru, Satoru isn't just the strongest, and for Satoru, Suguru isn't just the most dangerous evil cursor. For Suguru, Satoru is an anchor, a guiding star lighting the thorny path he has to walk. For Satoru, Suguru is the light, the sun shining bright on cloudy days when he needs it the most. So that's why his heart skips a bit when Suguru continues. Of course you would live together, Satoru. You, me, Mimiko and Anako, Tsumiki and Megumi. Because Suguru admitted they could be something more than just shadows to each other. They could become each other's support. They could finally help the other the way they both longed to for the longest time. The kitchen stays silent with a small confession, and neither of them say anything but is comfortable. It's unmanning. Suguru changed so much, and Satoru feels like he didn't change at all. But they still find each other every time, and they still choose each other over and over again. Neither of them buried the memories of the youth they shared, the youth which was so unfairly stolen from them. The open wounds from that time haven't all healed yet, but with every touch, with every kiss, with every whispered prayer between the two of them, they slowly yet undeniably start to close up. I would love that, Suguru. I don't know. So this was the fic. It was a really short motion because this is the first episode and I'm just testing the waters, kind of. But I really like this one. I mean, for this pairing, it had some lines that they really stayed with me. For example, the one with the kiss is so sweet, it makes Satoru wonder how much time Suguru has loved him for. Oh my god. And then it continues like with a fleeting and stupid thought, he never loved Satoru, and he never will, not the way Satoru loves him. Like, bro, that is insane writing. I don't know who wrote this, but they were definitely going through something. And you know, the one where he was like, that one pained me so much. It's like Suguru looks at Satoru as if he entrusted all of his hopes and dreams to him, and Satoru doesn't look at Suguru because he hates the feeling of how much things have changed. Bro, that's insane. I don't know. And the one that I like the most was, I mean, and this can apply to all people, like, I feel like this is kind of a general truth. I mean, I'm just going to repeat it for you. They are nothing more than people who understand each other. They are not enemies. They are not lovers. They are not friends, and they are not strangers. They have been, at some point, all of those. But now, they are just people who see each other for who they really are. I mean, that kind of stayed with me because sometimes you have that one person who, you know that you will, your paths always, you know, that like you always meet them whatever you do, and your paths are entangled, but at the same time they don't converge, they are entangled at some points, you always meet them, like they are parallel, but not really. Like, they are parallel for most of the time, so you are walking alongside with them, you can see them, you are there with them for the journey, but at some point they cross and you intertwine with them, and then they start to drift away a little, only for them to come back. And it's just really beautiful how it captures all of the moments of life and how people come and go, and how important it is to just accept the situation as how it is. I just really like that. If you would want to have some context about who these characters are, so basically Jujutsu Kaisen is a fantasy anime in which there are normal people and curse users, and basically Jujutsu, oh my god, I'm blanking out, and basically like Jujutsu people who have like insane abilities and techniques. Every technique is different, and there are these evil spirits, curses, which come from the negative emotions people have, and basically normal people can't see them, you know, but Jujutsu sorcerers can do that, and so their job is basically to erase them all, because if not they cause havoc. And the main plot, like the main story, follows Yuji, a normal boy who ate one cursed finger, who basically gave him it was the finger of one of the strongest curses in the world, and by eating it he basically kind of released the curse. Like, now he shares a body with the curse. That's the main story. But in this specific fanfiction, the characters that we talked about were Suguru Geto and Satoru Gojo. Satoru Gojo is the most strongest sorcerer. His technique is basically undefeatable. Should be. And he is Yuji's teacher, so that's like the correspondence between the two stories. So like he's the strongest curse, the strongest sorcerer, and Suguru was his best friend. Like, you know, when they were teenagers they met, and Suguru had a really unique technique in which after killing a curse he could basically eat it and get its power and gain control over the curse. So that's nice. But his technique made him feel really bad, and it was basically really disgusting for him to do so, and sometimes it caused immense distress to him, and so he kind of fell into a depression which he could not pull himself out of, which is really depressing if you think about it. I mean, there were a lot more layers to his story, but I would like to explain them some other time when the whole episode is just going to be about it. And so basically he fell into this depression, and he thought about how to solve the problem, and he came to the conclusion that killing all normal people, not sorcerers, would be adequate, since all of the curses come from them. Like, sorcerers can produce curses, but normal people can. So he was like, wait, we are fighting with what they produce, and we are dying, you know. And yeah, I mean, his turning point was kind of when one of his very good friends died. And yeah, I told you there are a lot more layers to this, but it's really interesting. Okay, so basically they are friends, but Suguru has this call to kill all non-sorcerers, whilst Satoru wants to build a better world, not by literally committing genocide, but by building a new generation with smarter, better sorcerers, you know, who can fight curses better. And so they kind of part ways, you know. I mean, they kind of become like now enemies, because Suguru is a threat to the world, and so Satoru should be the one responsible to kill him, because he is probably the only sorcerer who has the ability to do so. but he really can't, because, you know, for 10 years he refuses to tell the officials where Suguru is, and this is kind of my headcanon, but I'm sure he knew where he was, you know, because he didn't just cut off. And he refuses to do anything about it until one day when basically Suguru tries to he wages war on the sorcerers. And there are a lot more complicated things. There is a movie about this specific thing. And anyways, the thing is, he dies. He basically dies. And it is Gojo that kills him at the end, you know. And yes, it's a really tragic story. But I told you, there are so many layers. And this specific writer, so he wrote this Jujutsu Kaisen, it also has a manga, his name is Gege Akutami, and he writes characters so well. Like, all of the characters have detailed backstories and reasonings, and all of the characters are really good. What kind of makes me mad sometimes is that the people on the internet reduce his characters to specific, like, they put them in little boxes. Like, there is a character which is considered emo. Sorry if it sounded weird, my brother just barged into my room and I didn't want to spoil this whole thing I did until now. I'm sorry, I'm still a little bit beginner at this. Yeah, so I mean, I really like literature and I really like analyzing all kinds of pieces of media. So if you are listening to this and you have something that you like and you want to talk about it, sure, I would be really open to talk about it if I know it, and if I don't, I'm going to search it up and, like, maybe do some investigation about it. But I like all kinds of things. Like, I like a lot of things, so the chances of me knowing it or, you know, liking that thing are pretty big. Okay, now, this podcast is not going to be just about reading. It's also going to be about playing chess. If you want, I can learn you, because I am, like, chess is one of my hobbies, and I know some things that might be useful if you want to start now, or if you are already at a good level. I don't know. I just want to show that chess, although it is really accurate, like science, it can also be a form of art too, and I want to show that literature and chess are not so different. That's what this podcast is for, and I would like to hear your thoughts. What else I can do with this? I can teach you chemistry. I'm really good at chemistry, and basically I could do that. Like, I could explain some things if it would be needed. Like, you know, the organic chemistry tutor? Yeah, he is my inspiration. So I kind of wanted, when I first started this, I kind of wanted to do something like he did, but I don't want people to take my credentials. I mean, he's way more better than others, but since I haven't went through all the chemistry, you know, to all chemistry, I basically know how it feels to be a beginner and not really understand anything. And I kind of have the capacity to explain it, you know, better than a teacher who is like, oh, you should have known this. You know, I can explain it better than that. But, yeah, I'm sorry if I spoke too silently, I guess. I mean, I'm kind of, my throat is kind of hurt right now, so sorry I'm yapping, but I mean, a podcast should be about yapping. Anyway, I think that this is where I'm going to end this first episode, and I can't wait to do another one. Okay, so see you later. Bye.